Whaling was once one of the major industries in Australia, so much so that actually, if you look, the Melbourne coat of arms has a whale on it in the bottom left quadrant. But there's been some absolutely fantastic news. Humpback whale numbers are actually climbing. They're no longer on the endangered list. And by 2050, their numbers will actually be the same as they were before whaling began. It's very exciting stuff. So Joshua Smith, who is the research fellow from Murdoch University, is going to tell us why. So Joshua, there seems to be little good news when it comes to conservation. How come humpback whales are such a success story?
That's a good question. So basically, as you said, humpback whales had been hunted pretty much in the early 1900s, and then commercial whaling really ramped up in the 1950s and 60s. So there was a real stress on their numbers, in the numbers of whales that were being taken out of the population. Whaling stopped in around about early 1960s, basically because it became unsustainable. There just weren't enough whales to take out of the population for, you know, some of the products that were being used, the whale meat, the oils from the whales themselves. So basically we had a moratorium from the mid-1960s. Unfortunately, there was illegal whaling that continued up until about the early 1970s. But pretty much since then, we haven't had that kind of stress on the population. And fundamentally, that was the biggest driver of almost wiping out the humpback whales. They came very close to extinction. So you remove that kind of stress on the population, and we're seeing, I mean, there was probably shifts in populations of other whale species down on the feeding grounds in Antarctica. And so humpbacks have obviously been able to really utilize that niche where potentially other whale species also decreased in number. So we've taken away the whaling from humpback whale populations, and they've just really prospered extremely well, and they're rebounding at quite a rapid rate.
Yeah, so, okay, I mean, I'm just thinking in terms of all different whale species, especially baleen whales, because they're all eating krill, are all of those whale species, rebounding?
No, they're not. And if you're looking at particularly the Australian populations, the whales that we most interact with are the coastal species. And so you've predominantly got the southern right whales, and you've also got the humpback whales. The southern right whales, there's evidence to suggest that they're not doing nearly as well as the humpback whales. There's probably a population increase, but it's nowhere near the kind of extent that we're seeing with the humpback whales. And then if you move into other, like non-baleen whale species, but if you look at the sperm whales, I mean, they were hunted as well for their oils. And in Australia, there's evidence that populations really haven't gone anywhere. There really haven't been any kind of increase since whaling stopped in the late 1970s.
Okay, so, I mean, do you know why that is?
It's a bit hard to tell. I mean, obviously, if we stick with just the baleen whale species, potentially you have within the ecosystem, you have checks and balances. And so the humpbacks obviously have just been able to become, you know, better proficient and really utilizing that niche that was available to them, where other whale species, I mean, it's not an easy thing to say exactly why. One species was able to do a lot better, but obviously the humpbacks, because there's also social dynamics going on and reproductive parameters as well. So what's happened with the humpbacks is potentially an explanation is the calving interval. So the number of years between females having a calf has likely decreased, and that's probably been a response to the availability of food that's been there for them. In relation to krill, and then kind of the unsettling dynamics between whale species on the feeding grounds.
Okay. So, I mean, in terms of that, how often would a southern right whale calve, and how often would a humpback whale calve?
It's a bit hard to tell, but I mean, you know, you're kind of looking at about every sort of 2 or 3 years, likely southern right whales, but certainly with humpbacks, you're looking at, for example, the population, the pre-exploitation. Population estimates were sort of based on a calving interval for the humpback whales pretty much every 2 years, and that was based on the whaling data. They had really good data back from the whaling days, thanks to some biologists who were on board the whaling vessels. But now we definitely have sighting histories using photo identification, so you actually can tell, taking the pictures of the flukes of the whales, of the humpback whales, who an individual is, and you can track them across years. And there's definitely sighting histories of females that have been producing a calf every year for sometimes up to 4 or 5 years.
Okay, and so how is climate change affecting whales?
That's a good question. I mean, when you're talking about climate change, you know, you're kind of looking at changes in water temperatures and that sort of thing, sea level rises. With the whales themselves, probably the biggest impact, it's not likely going to be temperature driven. Obviously, they migrate from the breeding grounds up in the Great Barrier Reef or up in the Kimberley on the west coast of Australia. And it's quite warm temperatures there. You're looking at 24, 25 degrees. Mm. All the way down to Antarctica, very cold. So that's not likely to be a driver. It's more likely to be impacting on the food that they're able to consume. And in the southern hemisphere, the humpback whales consume krill. And krill are relatively sensitive to water temperature changes. And so that drives their distribution. So what's happening with the prey, considering the humpbacks are almost the top predator for prey species, so they're the ones that consume a lot of krill. If it changes in the krill, then that might actually have a flow-on effect to impact on humpback whales.
Okay, and I mean, just out of interest, so right now, where would our humpback whales be?
So they've definitely made it back to Antarctica, and there's a number of research programs that are, you know, being based in Antarctica now, looking at photo ID and distribution, particularly how humpback whales are feeding, how they're interacting with krill patches down on Antarctic fin, because that's a really big question now, a really big question in relation to not just with humpbacks but with minke whales, is what is happening with krill, how much is sort of available. And in the Southern Ocean, it's a difficult environment to kind of work in. So getting those numbers has been difficult, but they're down there and they're concentrating almost entirely on feeding. There is a little bit of social behaviour probably going on. We're now finding that they're singing down on the feeding grounds, which is something that we hadn't really explored too much. But we're certainly finding, as more people are doing some research down there, they're finding this is happening a little bit more, which we always thought was just happening in the breeding grounds.
Oh, cool!
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So they're feasting for Christmas and then they'll head back up to the breeding grounds in what, April?
Yeah, you're probably looking at about April, May, they'll start moving out. And then you're going to start seeing them around about May, June, you know, depending on where you are on the coastline of Australia.
Oh, awesome. All righty. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, but that was fun. That was Joshua Smith. He's a research fellow and whale expert from Murdoch University. I thought that was very exciting stuff. What a great success story.